Relatively Geeky presents
Doomspeak.
Dr. Doom, number 3. Welcome to the third episode of Doomspeak, in which we will be observing and celebrating one of the most important eras in comicsdom, the issuance by Marvel Comics of a monthly book bearing the glorious name of Dr. Doom. Now, if you've listened to the first couple of episodes of this, you'll remember that my plan was to cover these first three in this format with dedicated episodes on the feed, released, you know, within a week of release. And then when 2020 got here, I'd decide if I wanted to keep doing these solo separate shows, or if I would just roll this into a segment of the monthly comics reading journal. You may remember a few years ago, there was a Doom segment on every episode. And I got a piece of feedback about this notion, and I want to address it right here at the top of the episode. This came in from the Twitter account TheEmpire79. Doom has listened to your paltry podcast production and its praises for his unmatched genius. Your espousing of Doom's undeniable greatness may continue for now. Let me put a pin in that, because that is good news, because let me just say, in Latveria, when Doom wants your podcast to podfade, let's just say that's sort of a permanent condition. The Empire then adds this bit of ominosity. You know what I mean. However, the ominous tweet continues, if there is any further utterance that Doom may be relegated to a mere segment rather than a full exhibition of his greatness, ... And I think it's those ... that are the most ominous part of that ominous message. So I think what I'm saying is, the show must go on. We'll be doing at least a few more of these solo Doom episodes as the new year gets rolling. Of course, there was other feedback to go over as well. So before we get to the historic document that is our reason for calling this august assemblage, let's review comments on the prior episodes. Robert Ludwig, the most sane man among us, wrote in on his process of catching up. So just finished the epic episode number 1. And I have just one thing to say. Hail Doom. And a hearty Hail Doom to you as well, Robert. Paul Hicks, from DC OCD, and a podcast that will not be named here, sent quick feedback on that first episode, but I was instructed at the time that I needed to ignore that feedback. But now that Latveria has reestablished diplomatic relationships with Australia, I can now read this on the air. Greetings, Doom partner. I was pleased to see that you had succumbed to the lure of a brand new Dr. Doom comic to dictate your content choices. Welcome to the new comic reviewing club. Yes, on his show, Paul and his buddy Mike have been reviewing issues of a book that, it has Doom in the name, and now it has a TV show, but obviously there's a lot of confusion, people thinking it's Dr. Doom, assuming that Dr. Doom is in charge of some, like, patrol that has become, you know, quite popular in comics, and obviously on the DC Universe app as well. There's obviously a lot of confusion going on there. So he reviews those, you know, second-tier titles that just happen to have the word Doom in the name. You know, that's what he's been doing. But of course, I've been waiting for a real, you know, Doom title. That's what I've been doing, waiting for Dr. Doom. Now, Paul continues to say that it amused him that he came to read this comic this week in the week of its release in the most Professor Allen-ish of ways. This sounds good. Fellow Doombro Doug Zavisha often gifts me with Marvel redemption codes from new comics that he has purchased. So when he sent me the code the day after release, I mentioned to him that Professor Allen would approve the selection. Doug replied, especially since you got it for free. Now, I'm no math scientist, Paul says, but I'm thinking nothing is a pretty good price to pay, and it's probably an impressive discount. Anyway, keep up the work of Doom. Well, thank you, Brother Paul, since you are entering the world of comics and cheapness. Forget those things I said about the whole Doom stuff, okay? Thanks, man. And I don't know if you're ever in the United States, maybe we could meet up at a convention. I don't know if you've ever been to Heroes Con, for example. And yes, that discount is very, very impressive. Now, like he did on the first issue, Ranger Gord, from all the way up there in Canada, commented on issue 2 as well, calling it a beautiful comic, like reading the constitution of his majestic kingdom. There needs to be a salute of high reverence emoticon on the like menu. Facebook once again fails Doom. Yes, there needs to be a Hail Doom button on Facebook. Genius point, Gord. I hope you're listening, Zuckerberg. Luke Giaconetti's first comment was simple, hashtag Hail Doom. And then he followed up with, that sounds like another solid installment. Maybe not as much action, but certainly building the intrigue and the cliffhanger and the solicit text for issue 3 has me eager to see what comes next. I will have to look into getting this in trade when the first arc finishes up. I'll just mention in passing, Luke, that yes, you will have to look into that. You will have to. Luke continues that he was glad that Kang made another appearance. It's not really remembered much nowadays, but Kang the Conqueror's fascination with time travel came from studying Doom's time platform, and he believed himself to be the Doctor's descendant for a time. His Scarlet Centurion armor was even inspired by Doom, as I will interject, many of my sartorial choices are inspired by Doom as well. Hopefully, we can see something akin to a friendship develop between these two. Thank you, Luke. Yes, that has been a nice little bit in both issues, and I do hope that the Kang subplot continues, which I guess we'll find out in a few minutes. And social media responses for that episode came from the Between the Pages blog, Lord Metallic 81, Billy D. Clinton from Coffee and Comics, Fan Film Fridays, the Collected Edition podcast, Sean from Secret Wars and Beyond, Atlanta Segment Productions, Jason from the podcast that goes Snicked, Chris from Bat Books for Beginners, and Comics in the Golden Age. Now, before we take a break, let me just give us all a sneak preview of the upcoming issue, Doctor Doom number 3, and reiterate the blurb which comes from previews. Doctor Doom is dead for now. In this issue, he literally finds himself in hell, battling against his old foe Mephisto for the control of his own soul. It's an epic underworld fight, the victor, I see what you did there, Marvel, the victor of which may have to be decided by an unexpected third party. Meanwhile, the Blue Marvel continues his hunt for the Doctor and begins to wonder if victor is more victim than villain.
Hello there. This is Jared Albrick, a.k.a. The Yard Sale Artist, with a quick podcast promo for my show, Comics with Normies. Here's how the show works. Using my yard sailing skills, I acquire a random comic book from a yard sale. I then give said random comic to a normie, a normie being a person who doesn't normally read comic books. Then, on the show, I'll sit down with the normie to discuss the issue, get a real outsider's point of view, and see what some of the comics that we love, and maybe not love so much, seem like to those normal folks we see walking around on the streets each day. It should be a fun perspective and good for a few laughs. You can check out the Comics with Normies podcast, along with some other fun-filled podcasts from White Rocket Entertainment, on iTunes and at whiterocket.podbean.com. And feel free to join the show using Twitter handle at Normies Podcast or on Facebook at Comics with Normies. Once again, you can find Comics with Normies on iTunes and at whiterocket.podbean.com. We'll see you there.
And we're back. Dr. Doom number 3 has a cover date of February 2020, was released on Wednesday, December 4th, 2019, with a cover price of $3.99. The cover, by Aiko, shows Dr. Doom standing defiantly on a tall rock outcropping, surrounded by flames. And looming over him is a mean-looking demonic red figure, Mephisto. It's another great cover, one that delivers a great poster image, but which also reflects the general action in the issue, or at least the general setting of the issue. There was an alternate cover for this issue by Patch Zercher and Maury Hollowell. It was almost as good. On that one, there's a background of reds and oranges and flames, but the figure of Doom is walking towards us with purpose, with defiance. It's, again, a pretty nice hero pose. And although I don't approve of a cover that shows Mephisto looming over Doom like the main cover does, I mean, look, looming on a cover, that's pretty much Doom's thing, okay? Kind of a specialty. But including Mephisto on the cover is probably a better, more accurate cover concept, but both were quite good. The story, Death in the Afternoon, was written by Christopher Cantwell with art by Salvador LaRocca. Spoilers for the events of issue 3. I am going to go through the comic, scene by scene, just so you know. But before we start, I do have another piece of feedback to go over here, as it relates to a key element of our storyline, and more specifically, how to properly pronounce that key element of our storyline. As we heard from Jason Colby, who talked about difficult pronunciations in comic books, from Namor's other name to the fifth-dimensional imp that torments Superman, to Martian Manhunter's given name. But I think, he writes in his email, this is one case where knowing the correct pronunciation, perhaps, adds another layer of meaning. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the late lamented lunar base of the current Doctor Doom series is pronounced Antlion, just like the bug plus the cat. I say this because I think it's a reference to the larva of a creepy little insect called, no surprise, the antlion. This bug hunts by digging a pit in the sand and then lurking in a hole at the bottom. Ants and other insects fall in, and they don't come back out. Presumably, Tony Stark thinks that's an apt metaphor for the black hole into which he throws the ultra-toxic waste products of a CO2 removal program. I double-checked the pronunciation of this bug by clicking through some YouTube videos. See you next doomsday, Jason. That's interesting, and I think your analysis is most likely correct, and I'm going to attempt to adopt that pronunciation. But in my defense, my thought process was the moon, therefore the Inhumans, therefore it would sound sort of more like Adelan. That was my jumping off point for trying to figure out how to say that. But I'll take Jason's research over my hunch any day. Thanks. And let's get back to the discussion of this issue, which starts with the recap from the first page. Recently, an international program called the Antlion Project was developed to solve climate change by creating a black hole on the moon. Believing the project to be dangerously flawed, Doom publicly condemned the Antlion, which meant when Latverian missiles struck the facility, killing nearly 3,000 people, he became the prime suspect. Doom willingly surrendered, hoping to prove his innocence, but mysterious visions of a peaceful future with a loving family have been haunting him. And when Kang appeared and confirmed that these glimpses were more than just dreams, Doom escaped custody. The Fantastic Four sent a Herbie unit to recruit Dr. Adam Brashear, a.k.a. Blue Marvel, to track down Doom. Meanwhile, Morgan Le Fay led a fugitive Doom to The Witness to try to make sense of his visions. But before Victor could get answers, he was shot dead by a sniper. We start the action of this issue more than 10 years in the future, in the former Denmark. A handsome leader with a slight scar on his cheek is speaking about the infrastructure needed to implement weather control. He is the world minister. It may seem audacious, blasphemous, to try to control the elements. Now, my detractors have accused me of playing God. I think many would use the word tyrant. I was a Roma boy, alone in the snow, cast out, hunted. I sought to control everything. But one day, that angry fire within me, it blew out. I began to dream solar skyscrapers, magnetic trains, clean fuel. I pledged to make them our ideas, not just mine. Doom is my name, but it's no longer my purpose. We then move back to our current timeline, assuming that is, that time even exists in Mephisto's lair. Doom climbs out from a pile of skulls and stands, defiant, very well. Hell, then. He trudges to Mephisto, saying that, like last time, he is not here to stay. He's not supposed to be here. That's what they all say, Mephisto answers. Doom talks of another fate, another destiny, and Mephisto mocks him. Scientist and sorcerer, and now clairvoyant, you must be a god. Doom does not deny that description, but denies that it is blasphemy. How can it be when I'm truly meant to save all of mankind? Reasonable point, if you think about it. Mephisto reminds Doom that in exchange for his mother's soul, he did leave behind his first love, Valeria, here in Hell, and he proposes a devil's bargain. Convince Valeria that you deserve your life, and you may return to it. Valeria. In Latveria, Victorious, the regent, receives reports of the Simkarian invasion into Latveria. The UN and NATO, they're not going to intervene. With Doom gone, they plan to stabilize the region. she adjourns to her floor to think. Alone, stripping to her athletic underthings, she begins a workout, which is interrupted by a ninja who announces that he is her personal guillotine. But with strength and a few explosions of power from her left fist, the ninja is blasted out of Victorious's room and out of the castle. Back in hell, Doom tries to talk to Valeri about his vision, his future, his coming redemption. But she just begs him to stay with her in hell. He tells her he can't because he's seen his future. Mephisto interrupts this, saying that what Doom has seen are lies. I've seen your cursed visions. I've seen you save all of man. But it's impossible. You're mine for eternity. Doom delivers a few consequences to the demon, and they tussle a bit, landing in another pile of skulls. But then they are interrupted by a skull-faced woman in black who proclaims that Doom will return to life. But Mephisto pleads, Mistress Death, my final goddess, he speak again and I will show you the true death, nothingness, the void. Doom understands that she is here because he must go back to save all things. No, Death tells the doctor. It is because you will become my greatest servant of all. In Morgan Le Fay's apartment, Doom's inert body lies on a bed. Brashear and Le Fay debate whether Victor was set up or not, and who killed him, and if it was a righteous execution or cold-blooded murder. And then he revives, his soul having returned to his body. Doom sees Blue Marvel, and with a seven sons of Cinnabus, he blasts him through about five walls out onto the street. Morgan laments the loss of her security deposit, while, yes, Luke Giaconetti, it took to the last half of the last page, but it did happen. While Kang arrives. I don't remember buzzing you in, Le Fay comments. Kang's opening line is about Doom's clothing. Kang, Doom asks, cutting to the chase. Do you know of any timelines in which I was killed, assassinated? Early 21st century. Kang considers this, then answers, an agent named Taskmaster did you in, hired by Advanced Idea Mechanics, and civilization completely collapsed within 13 years of your death. To be continued. The quick analysis, another solid issue. But let me expand upon that just a little bit. As much as I've enjoyed looking at these issues one by one, I think they might read even better as a trade, at least for these first three, because, as we said last time, issue two was a dip in the action, but we had more character, more suspense. And then here it cranks back up again with scenes in hell, with increasingly powerful characters coming into the action. First, Mephisto, who is at a pretty high power level himself. But then his boss, Death herself, shows up. So this is Doom hanging out with some pretty heavy hitters, as is appropriate, though I don't know if it bodes well for him long term. And there might be a potential problem to that down the road, and that's that the stakes here are so high, with dealing with such overpowered beings, that once this storyline is over, where do we go? But that point is many issues away from now, and why worry about possible complications in the future, and why not just enjoy the comics as they come out? But this ebb and flow of the action, the cycle of action and reaction, scene and sequel, it wouldn't surprise me if that repeated a bit over the next issue. Maybe less pure action coming up, maybe more moving characters around on the chessboard. Suspense via difficult conversations. Maybe not, but so far, that's what Cantwell has been doing, and so far I've really enjoyed that rhythm that he's been giving the series. Oh, did I mention there was a ninja? Because there was a ninja! I am very much approving of the regent that Doom appointed for ruling during his absence, Victorious. Now, she has a lot on her plate. What with Simcaria invading, what with the UN and NATO choosing to favor Simcaria, taking this opportunity to do a little nation building at the expense of Latveria. It's as if the global community was just waiting for a chance to stick it to Doom and Latveria. Maybe they even set up Latveria and the whole Antlion process. Or at least, they were certainly seem more than happy to accept any evidence of Doom's villainy, whether it's true news or the other kind. But she, Victorious, is handling her duties well, and then, when attacked by a ninja, proves that she can handle herself in a one-on-one, hand-to-hand situation as well. And we have a big question at the end. Who hired AIM to hire Taskmaster to kill Doom? One thing that Christopher Cantwell has done well in these issues is to end them with a bang, with a cliffhanger, with a problem or a question that needs to be answered, with, frankly, a reason to come back next time. And at the core level, that is the first job of the comic book writer, to bring back the readers for the next issue. And I may be in the minority on this next thought, but I am enjoying the political machinations. And I suspect that when we reveal the truth behind the attacks on the moon base and the framing of Doom, that's where this political intrigue is heading, I assume. I do like the mentions of the UN and NATO, but I assume the powers behind this plot are not actual real-world agencies, but will turn out to be purely Marvel inventions of some kind. Although, I wouldn't put this whole plot past the UN. I mean, if I thought they were competent enough to pull it off, I guess. And I do like the use of Kang the Conqueror as Doom's personal temporal Google, his source of knowledge about various future timelines, to give Victor the necessary signposts or guardrails, whatever analogy you like, to keep him operating within his preferred timeline. The one that he wants to make sure does occur. And I like how Cantwell is using some of the key aspects of Doom's past. The time travel, interactions with Kang, Mephisto, and Doom's mother. And I appreciate the nods to Doom's past, how he is curating elements thereof. You know, the character's coming up on 60 years in print. So there is a lot that has to be left behind whenever you do a new take. That's just the way of comics. But so far, I like the points that Cantwell has focused on. So, three issues in, and I'm still in. So far, so really good. And just to check on my own biases, I did a little poking around the internet for other reviews of this issue, just to see if I was totally out of the mainstream with how much I'm digging this. But no, the reviews are mostly to varying levels of positive. Here, just as an example, I've pulled some of the comments from the issue 3 review from the website Graphic Policy. 3 issues and 3 amazing reads. Writer Christopher Cantwell has mixed socio-political machinations with superheroics and the result is amazing. Cantwell also delivers us intrigue, as it's clear whomever's behind Doom's framing and assassination is also likely behind the threats Latveria are seeing in his absence. The name checks of the UN and NATO add a real-world tint to the situation. It's a political thriller masked in armor. This is a prime example of what comics can be. It also keeps you on your toes as to what might happen next, delivering a healthy mix of mystery and reveals. This issue continues what might be the best series of the year. So again, it's not just me who thinks this storyline has gotten off to a terrific start. It's really all right-thinking people. Now, on these podcast episodes, I want to look back at the sales figures for the title, which are available at Comicron.com. The most recent figures there are for October, the month that this title debuted, and Doctor Doom number 1 sold a definitely solid 60,000 issues, landing at number 23 on the sales list. That is based on the number of issues sold, which does differ from the dollar value of sales revenue, because comics are sold, as we all know, at a range of cover prices, mostly way too high for what you get. But for consistency's sake, in terms of the month-to-month analysis, we'll focus on the unit sales. Again, number 23 in the overall list, and about 60,000 issues sold to comic stores. The next issue of the title, Doctor Doom number 4, is currently scheduled to be released on Wednesday, January 1st. I don't know if any adjustment is made one day or the other for the New Year's Day holiday, but that is the official word. And to whet your appetite for that issue and the related podcast episode, here is the blurb for issue 4 from previews. As his homeland is invaded by foreign adversaries, Dr. Doom continues to be hunted and on his own. But his conviction strengthens as he further embraces a possible future where he becomes the savior of all humankind. In order to confront those who have set him up as a global criminal, Doom will fight his way through the doors of the spy organization AIM, where he'll battle his would-be assassin Taskmaster and match wits with one of the biggest brains in the universe, MODOK. Meanwhile, a forgotten and bereft hero of the past will suddenly rise on the geopolitical stage. So I am totally looking forward to that. Now, unfortunately, I will be out of town for the first few days of January, visiting family and possibly a few podcast buddies as well. So it will take me a few days longer than usual to get my hands on the issue, so that episode may not be out until mid-January. But don't worry, you'll be fine. If you have any feedback on this episode, on this issue, or on anything related to The Good Doctor, don't hesitate to contact me. You can do that via email, relativelygeeky@gmail.com, or as a comment on our Facebook or blog post for this episode. The blog is at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening. Take care, and hail Doom.
Hail Doom! Hail Doom! Hail Doom!